Welcome to the Food Matters Live podcast, where we showcase the innovations, the big ideas, and the visionaries in the food industry. We dig deep, we look to the future and the past, and we question everything that we think we know about food. I'm Stefan Gates. I'm a food science writer, TV presenter, and a gastronaut. Today, we're going to explore the nutritional powerhouses that are blueberries. Now, I love a blueberry, but aside from being delicious, there are claims that blueberries punch above their weight when it comes to well-being. They're packed with antioxidants and vitamins and fibre, and the potential health benefits of these small, mighty berries have been jumped on by food producers and news editors hungry for a juicy headline. But it's also been suggested that they might play a role in the prevention of disease and illness. But is all of this just marketing fluff? Is an avalanche of antioxidants always a good thing? What does the science say? Well, with me to discuss this is the fantastic Dr. Jose Lara, Senior Lecturer in Human Nutrition at Northumbria University. Hello there and welcome to the podcast, Jose.
Hello, Stefan. Thank you for that very nice introduction.
Well, it's fantastic to have you. Now, let's dive straight into this, really. Blueberries have been called a superfood. I hate the phrase superfood, personally, but I wondered, you're the expert here, does such a thing exist? And if it does, are blueberries one of them? Are blueberries a superfood?
Yes. We hate it probably a bit more than you. You know, the academic scientific side, obviously, it has been more media, industry, marketing purposes that has coined this kind of term. There is no such a definition for what a superfood could be or a scientific, being scientifically recognized. So a superfood as compared to what? To other fruits. Yes, of course, there is growing evidence that blueberries are associated with a number of health benefits. And therefore, yes, there is, as we will probably be discussing during this podcast, a number of health benefits that have been documented. So coming back to that superfood from a marketing purpose has been used, but there is nothing wrong with that. Perhaps the only concern that we will have from a scientific perspective is that those of us in the population who are interested on foods that may bring us some health benefits may be misled by that kind of marketing. There is the risk, obviously, that if I feel that I am consuming a superfood, I may be overlooking other aspects of what is my lifestyle, not just diet, you know, lifestyle in general. So those are the kind of downside of using this sort of terminology. That's what we can say. I could reading about this because I have been in the past invited to write a review article for a journal on this term, and it was a little bit controversial, so we declined at the time a couple of years ago because there is no way to truly, we don't want to be on the attacking negative side, but we cannot really encourage it. Just for the knowledge and information to your audience, around the first World War number one, it was bananas that were proposed as a superfood. So the humble banana that nowadays we don't really allocate as many health benefits, perhaps, it was considered a superfood at the time. Things change, of course, since the early part of the century.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the concept of superfood is it just adds to the body of cliches and mantras. And I find that the cliches, when you throw them around like the word of superfood, it's a prophylactic over the truth, isn't it? You know, it just covers up the complexity of things. And you know, generally speaking, a right thinking nutritionist would probably say, listen, everything is both a poison and everything is good for you. It's all about the dosage. And so yeah, these things are a bit complex.
As we will discuss, you know, as we will talk, there is a number of positive effects there might be also negative effects in, when we exceed, you know, the consumption of certain foods, particularly.
So before we get onto that, let's have a little look at the things that I find particularly interesting about blueberries. First of all, it's the colour. I mean, there are precious few blue foods around. Does the colour signify anything about a blueberry?
Well, the colour is associated. You mentioned, you know, these are foods that have the reputation of being packed with antioxidants, whatever, you know, that is. One of those compounds which is responsible for that antioxidant capacity found in foods like blueberries is anthocyanins. Anthocyanins are one of the main phenolic compounds, together with other flavonoids. Anthocyanins are a type of flavonoids, which is the umbrella term for flavonoids and other compounds that give the color that we see in the food. So these are water-soluble pigments that confer the that dark blue. Actually, it's considered dark purple color, although we have called them blueberries. Around over 50% of what is the antioxidant properties of blueberries are kind of considered as anthocyanins. And so when we see a blueberries, the darker the color, in a way, the higher the concentrations of anthocyanins. And consequently, the higher the antioxidant capacity that they have.
Yeah. Now, if anyone's interested and anyone needs to entertain small children, like our producer, Anthony, if you take some anthocyanins, the classic one is to do it with red cabbage, really. Blend up some red cabbage with some water, get the resulting juice and pour it in a big jug of water. It will turn the whole jug of water blue. But the anthocyanins are a pH indicator. So if you squeeze half a lemon into that, it will turn from blue to bright pink almost instantly. And then if you add a base, so washing powder or something like that, it'll turn it green almost instantly. And you keep turning backwards and forwards over and over. But that's an aside, So the word antioxidant is these things are really important, but I think antioxidant itself has become a bit of a cliche and a mantra because people don't really understand them. They just throw the word around, especially in food marketing. So let's hear it from you. How do these antioxidants work in the body and what role do they play in supporting our overall health?
Yes. The role of antioxidants is to scavenge free radicals from body cells, so prevent the damage caused by oxidation. So free radicals will likely be capturing oxygen molecules and produce or be more prone to oxidation. So the role of antioxidants is to prevent the accumulation of those free radicals. I should say that our body produces free radicals internally. You know, our cells produce it. In addition, of course, when we talk about, you know, our lifestyle, some lifestyle-related behaviors, smoking, of course, our diet, exposure to pollutants, those are also going to contribute to the accumulation of free radicals. So therefore, that's the kind of antioxidant theory that we need to increase our consumption of antioxidants in order to reduce what is the accumulation of those free radicals. I mentioned before that those free radicals, because they accumulate at the cellular level, they may cause alterations, mutations, that at the DNA level that have been associated with a number of diseases. They have been also associated with what is the alteration of certain risk factors, for example, oxidation of our cholesterol, particularly LDL cholesterol, the kind of negative bad cholesterol that we find in our blood. So that's the critical aspect in relation to what these antioxidants and its relation with free radicals.
Yeah. I think a lot of people extrapolate from this idea that things like blueberries stop you from getting cancer. And you've been very careful about your choice of words, and you've been used the phrase, these things may help. Can you say such bold statements as blueberries stop the development of cancer?
No, that will be misleading to people, to our population. When we think about the association of lifestyle behaviors, not just diet, as I mentioned before, and the risk for certain diseases, we are talking about that risk for. So it's the potential for proving causation is a very difficult aspect, particularly when we think about cancer, cardiovascular disease, dementias, which develop over years or decades. So it will be impossible to prove that. So we are talking about associations, and if you consume more of these, perhaps your risk, you know, will be relatively lower in comparison with other people that consume less of those, the thing we would, you know.
It's more nuanced than anything that people generally sort of say. You know, yes,
we cannot guarantee that, you know, if you consume more blueberries, you will avoid cancer or cardiovascular disease. However, we believe that you will reduce the risk potential.
Yes, which is a different thing, isn't it? Okay, is this a blanket application? Is a lot of antioxidants always a good thing?
No, this is an important aspect. There are positives, yes, but there is some evidence that high levels of antioxidants will lead or have also negative effects opposite to what it will be oxidation, as we have been talking before. So I could not say that there is a specific level or cutoff where we are, you know, where things are good or bad. As I said before, we always talk about associations, risk, etc. So that we say, as we say at the beginning of this podcast, there might be side effects also whenever you go over to this table.
A lot of fruits offer us lots of benefits, but let's be wary that you can always have too much of a good thing. Now, I'm sounding a little bit cynical about blueberries, which I'm not at all. I love blueberries, and I'm sure and they can be really positive things for your diet as well. So let's talk about the positive sides. There are some claims that they can help to protect against ill health. Is there any evidence in this area?
Yes. This is one of those areas in which growing evidence is growing. I should mention that perhaps the interest on the antioxidant effect and, you know, effects associated with blueberries consumption probably started in the late 90s. So in a way, it's fairly recent period in which we have been able to document this. However, we have some evidence coming from epidemiological population studies suggesting there is an association in which shows that if your consumption of blueberries and therefore anthocyanins is higher in relation with the average population or those at the bottom, you will have certain benefits. You will have a lower risk for a number of conditions. Studied is cardiovascular disease, probably because it is considered one or the two main causes of death worldwide. You know, cardiovascular disease and cancer normally go head to head on which is the main cause of deaths globally. So cardiovascular disease has been well documented because we see this association. If anything that improves or your cardiovascular health is likely to impact other aspects such as cognitive decline, dementia, as we probably will talk a little bit further. So there is evidence coming from that angle, population studies. That information normally will generate hypotheses that are going to be tested in randomized controlled trials in which we supplement either blueberries or blueberry extracts or supplements of anthocyanins to people and follow them, you know, see what effects may have. And from this other side of the evidence, we also have certain, we have been able to document that consuming blueberries or increasing our consumption of anthocyanins and other phenolic compounds may be associated with reduction of cardiovascular risk factors, for example. And consequently, you know, that supports the hypothesis that we may prevent diseases. As I said before, it will be very difficult to prove cause and effect because it will be, will take years.
And nutritional studies are so complex anyway.
And expensive, yeah. That's another thing.
There is that as well. Now, Jose, weight loss is another benefit that often comes up with blueberries. Is there evidence to back up the fact that, that there could be a weight loss connection?
There is now some evidence that have linked mostly on, let's call it, mechanistic studies. You know, studies in which they have supplemented either anthocyanins or blueberries, and they have, from animal model studies and in some kind of exercise sports-related studies, suggesting that when you consume blueberries, when you are supplemented or supplement your usual diet with those, there might be a reduction in the accumulation or the development of certain fat compartments in the body, particularly those in the abdominal area, which has important consequences for health.
And that's very hard to shift, abdominal fat, isn't it?
Again, from other studies in humans, there are from epidemiological studies, there is an association, again, whether if you consume more blueberries, your body mass index or your weight may tend to be lower than people who doesn't consume as much. Now, is this, again, it shows or proves a cause and effect? Probably not. And can we be certain that it is the consumption of blueberries or anthocyanins? Well, we don't know, because obviously if you consume blueberries, it's very possible that other aspects in your lifestyle are also positive.
Yeah, and let's face it, blueberries are a relatively expensive fruit. You will tend to buy them if you have more available income. If you have more available income, you will tend to be healthier anyway. It's hard to extrapolate from this, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. And the other thing important to say is that, for example, those population studies, which often study or include thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people, find those associations not only with blueberries, but with other foods that may also contain phenolic compounds or anthocyanins. And that adds to the hypothesis, but also then suggests that perhaps it's your, and this is an important side that perhaps people do not find very attractive, that from a nutrition science perspective, we tend to talk more about the whole dietary pattern rather than specific foods or specific nutrients. That kind of approach
brings back to the word superfood. That's why this is not a useful term, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, you mentioned connections with dementia. So let's talk a little bit about brain health. What are the known links between either blueberries or anthocyanins and cognitive function?
Yes, well, as I mentioned before, because dementia has a very strong link with what is cardiovascular health or vascular health, it's a very strong link there. Anything that is positive or has a positive effect on your vascular health is likely to impact on dementia. So obviously that gave origin to the idea, the hypothesis to test what is the link between these two. And we have, when we evaluate the evidence, it's important to separate the epidemiological studies showing an association, but still, you know, very important studies because they have large amount number of people, large sample sizes. So those studies suggest that, again, the more blueberries and anthocyanins you consume in your diet, the lower the risk for certain dementias. It's not a single term, Alzheimer's and other related problems. It may be reduced around by around 40%. We are talking about studies that follow people over 10, 15, 20 years. So that is one side of the, or one piece of evidence. Nowadays, we have Again, randomized controlled trials supplementing either blueberries or blueberry supplements extracts to people. And just as I mentioned before, the impact on cardiovascular risk factors such as blood pressure or cholesterol, and of course, cardiovascular diseases. In this case, those studies of randomized controlled trials have focused on some dimensions of what is cognitive function, memory, executive function, and there has been an association findings supporting the fact that consuming blueberries may improve some aspects of memory. Memory is not a single domain. It's actually quite complex for people who is not or doesn't have a psychological background like myself. But in terms of short memory, executive function, aspects like that have been improved in those clinical trials. If it improves that cognitive function, it's likely then to reduce that cognitive decline that it occurs with age before dementia or dementias appear. So there is again growing evidence, but these studies are more recent, so we need more research, no doubt about that, to really confirm and expand on what is the.
Yeah, and again, you mentioned it's an association. There's no causal link yet.
We cannot confirm that because, again, when you do an evaluation of the evidence, you need to consider studies that show positive effects and those that show negative effects. And then, taken together, try to do an evaluation on in which direction truly the evidence goes and which weighs more than the other. So often we, particularly in the media, and is, you know, this is the way that we reach the public, sometimes we come across a new recent study publishing positive results, and then, you know, we come with those messages like, superfoods,
yeah, and it joins the body of us, and that doesn't mean that this research is irrelevant. You know, observational studies are still important anyway.
But they? So, you know, for example, one of our own studies, a recent short-term trial, showed no effect. So,
yeah, absolutely. Now we talked about brain health. I mean, are there also links with mental health and issues with depression and things like that, combined with any of the functions or of the ingredients, ingredients, not ingredients, but components of blueberries?
Yes. Again, there seems to be a link there, and, but these are among the kind of most recent topics that have been investigated. As I said before, most efforts have been devoted to what it was cardiovascular health, and of course, then, you know, of course, aging-related diseases are an important aspect. You know, dementia, Parkinson, etc., and of course, other mental health issues are also important. But unfortunately, the evidence is still thin in those.
Yeah. Yes. Fair enough. And in terms of the different types of blueberries, I mean, there are wild blueberries, there are store-bought, sort of commercially grown varieties. Do the components in the blueberries change between the different types, or is it pretty much that you get the same amount of anthocyanins between the different types?
There is this argument it's like controversy still, because there is an argument that wild blueberries are better than farm blueberries, and that wild blueberries have higher amounts of antioxidants than farm blueberries, but still farm blueberries still have higher levels of anthocyanins in relation with other fruits. From a nutritional scientific perspective, this is a bit less important, because whenever you go to the supermarket and buy your blueberries, whether you go to, I don't want to know whether I should name a place, or you go to Tesco or Sainsbury's or wherever you do your shopping, you do not get blueberries from a single source or from a single type. if you, the next time that you go around or you shop around, you look at, they will tell you the origin, UK, Mexico, USA, etc., wherever they are grown. So surely it's a mixture of those. Now, obviously, the evidence, the population evidence that I just mentioned, whenever they ask and use questionnaires and ask you as a participant how much blueberry you consume and how often, you don't really know what type or what sort. So, yes, compositionally, because of different species and depending on different latitudes in different regions of the world where they are grown, there will be some differences. Surely, as you mentioned before, pH, temperature, storage, those things will affect what is the content of the nutritional content of those foods and other foods. That's from a nutrition perspective, we don't make still those differences. When you do randomized control trials, perhaps you want to have control of the source to prove something. But on the other hand, whenever you do that, that loses its application, because for the general population, when you recommend to consume blueberries, they will consume from, you know, blueberries originate from different parts of the world.
Yeah. So hard to get a level playing field. Okay, so we've talked about, we're sort of delving into this idea of what is the source substance here. What about supplements and powders and juices? If we do identify health benefits from blueberries, in their fresh form, do these still exist in the processed form?
They actually exist, yes. Actually, a number of I mentioned just briefly before, some of the randomized control trials actually use either blueberries or blueberry extract or blueberry juice or capsules of containing anthocyanin. And they have also shown effects related to those different risk factors that we talk, cholesterol, blood pressure, or memory and executive function in terms of cognitive health. So yes, there is an effect. And of course, there is an important interest on this because blueberries are a seasonal product. They will have a very short shelf life, you know. Whenever you go buy it from the supermarket, they will tell you that, you know, you're blueberries may last up to 3 days or 4 days maximum, but then, of course, they will start degrading and spoiling. So finding ways to preserve those, that excess production of these foods is an important aspect. So it's an important aspect from the kind of food industry side.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, I mean, is it possible to say that there is a quantity of blueberries that is appropriate to eat? You know, how many would you need to feel any benefits if you ever did? And on the flip side, are there any risks associated with consuming too many blueberries?
Yes. Well, on the first part of your question, what we know is that those studies, population studies, large population studies, epidemiological studies, show that consuming 3 and more portions of blueberries per week may confer you a protection in the long term, assuming that you're a constant, regular blueberry consumer. Evidence coming from randomized control trials have shown that in the short term, from 2 weeks to 12 weeks, often there are very few studies going, 3 or 4 months, have shown that if you consume a portion of blueberries per every day, may confer you some protection, as we have been talking about, reducing your blood pressure, perhaps reducing a little bit your cholesterol, and so on. So, should I consume blueberries? Yes, how often? There's nothing wrong with consuming them every day. Perhaps being one of your 5 a day portions of fruits and vegetables. So yes, on that basis, a portion, people will ask, you know, what is a portion? Well, a portion of fruits and vegetables in the UK is equivalent to 80 grams. So most studies say, well, we supplemented a half a cup of blueberries, which will be equivalent to around a portion of fruit. So that's on the positive side, you know. And now, does that mean we are, what would be the word? Do we recommend blueberries? Yes, as part of a healthier diet. Is it the only change that you should do? Or, you know, as being the only change, will that bring, you know, those benefits? Probably not. Now, as I mentioned before, there is some evidence suggesting that when we consume too much of something, there might be risks. And blueberries are not the exception. Blueberries, just as any other food, not only contain anthocyanins, they contain many other things. For example, one that comes to mind now is oxalates. Oxalates are compounds that may lead to or be associated to certain types of kidney stones. So if there is a risk for you to develop kidney stones, some predisposition, is likely that consuming too many blueberries may have that kind of risk. Other things that may see as, you know, undesirable effects is that, like other fruits, they are high in fiber. If your diet was not high in fiber below, and then you start consuming blueberries or any other type of food, giving you providing you with important amounts of dietary fiber, it's possible that you will have digestive issues, you know, excessive gas and those kind of things. So those are some of the, if not negative, undesirable effects of consuming. Now, how much? Well, there's some evidence pointing that if you were to consume, I don't know, 7-8 portions a day of blueberries, which is hard to believe, but
there might expensive be as well.
Cases. These are the kind of amounts that we see associated with those, you know, risk for those undesirable effects.
So it's a heck of a lot you'd have to get to before you start to really cause any major problems. Yeah. Which brings me to this question. How many blueberries does Jose Lara eat a week?
We try to consume it. You know, probably I should say my partner is better in eating blueberries because she is the person who eats small portions several times a day.
And the blueberries are very good for small
blueberries
portions.
Blueberries are very good as a snacking
part. Yeah, unlike a banana, which you kind of have to eat all in one go.
Yes. But as I said before, again, and sorry, perhaps the message is a little bit, you know, boring, or for those in your audience that were expecting to hear, you know, just
magic bullet,
forget about the rest of things. as part of a healthy diet, they are important, but they are not the only thing. So don't forget the bananas, don't forget the apples, tea. There are a number of other foods that make provide you with anthocyanins, and those compounds that we associate with positive health effects.
Yeah, Jose, you're just a classic nutritionist. Yes, they're good for you, but it's much more complicated than that.
Yes.
Which is quite absolutely bang on. Okay, just my final question then. Are there any other or lesser known health benefits of blueberries that you think deserve some more attention or research? And any other sort of little indications that there might be something lurking in them that you would like to see unpacked?
Well, not just associated with blueberries, but also with blueberries, of course. The interaction with what is our gastrointestinal flora, our microbiota, that's an important aspect from a mechanistic perspective on to identify or clarify what are really the other mechanisms. We know that through the antioxidant effects, they may have some benefits. We know that they may reduce some risk factors. We know that they may reduce inflammation, but there may be other aspects behind that are important from a research perspective. In relation to what this consumption of these foods and health or health aspects, probably vision is the one of those areas which requires a little bit more evidence. There is some evidence suggesting that may have benefits for visual or vision or visual health, but whether it can truly prevent cataracts, for example, is still uncertain. And the reason I mention cataracts is because there seems to be a strong link as protection against diabetes mellitus, or at least delaying those complications of the diabetes mellitus. So whether it may have, we know that there is quite a connection between vitamin A or carotenoids, you know, provitamin A components, but there seem to be also a link for this food. So perhaps we're taking that example of the vitamin A and health and vision that kind of everybody knows is kind of, you know, common knowledge. Well, this shows that there might be many other components in our diets that perhaps some of them we are not even aware of that may have an impact on our health. And that's the, you know, interesting and important side of doing more research from what is that diet nutrition perspective.
Excellent. Well, that's really intriguing stuff that there might be other applications for them. That was absolutely fascinating. Jose Lara, that was absolutely brilliant. And thank you so much for your expertise. And thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
Well, I hope you enjoyed this episode on blueberries. If you did, there are hundreds more, not just on blueberries, but on everything at foodmatterslive.com. And remember, if you enjoyed the Food Matters Live podcast, you can subscribe via your preferred platform. And if you feel inclined, go on, leave us a review. Thank you so much for listening.